Praise for your greatness, praise for your goodness, praise for your sunshine, praise for your light in our life. We are so grateful to be here this morning, to come focus on you and worship you, to experience your presence in us and among us. This morning I pray that you will speak to us, you'll move in us, you'll change us. You'll touch us, each one, in the place where we most need to hear from you, most need your touch. God, we give ourselves to you this morning. We give our families to you this morning. We give our work to you this morning. We give our friends. We give this city to you. And we ask that you move in their lives, that you make yourself real to them, that you'll answer their prayers, meet their needs, open their eyes to your presence if they're closed, strengthen their faith for those who have faith. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do this morning. We look forward to what you're going to do today. We look forward to what you're going to do this week and this month, this year. May we see your power at work all around us. May we be instruments that you use to express that. Pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we are continuing our series called Stress Busters, 40 Days with the Shepherd, taking a fresh look at Psalm 23, learning how God wants to pull the stress out of our lives and fill it with His presence and His life. And this is very, very necessary. The Mayo Clinic, all right, one of the most respected medical institutions in the country, the Mayo Clinic claims that 80 to 85% of a doctor's total caseload is due directly to worry and anxiety. 80 to 85% of the illnesses we go to the doctor about is due directly to the worry and anxiety we have in our life. Health experts say that coping with stress is the number one health priority of our day. Some believe that 70% of patients could cure themselves if they could only deal with their stress. 70%. But here's the problem. 100% of patients say that going to the doctor gives them stress. It's a catch-22. So Psalm 23 is a passage that's teaching us how to let that stress drain out of our life, that's so necessary for us, and allow God's abundant life to flow in. And so I want us to look again at that end of the psalm, because it's the goal. It's where we're headed. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a picture. That's a picture of stress-free living, enjoying dinner in the presence of our enemies, not a worry in the world. Right? Our life is overflowing with goodness and love. This is an incredible picture. That's the goal. That's where we want to go. It's Psalm 23 that shows us how to get there, that gives us the directions. It's God's directions for fulfillment. It's God's directions for balance. It's God's directions for peace, for making good decisions, for having courage and strength and joy in our life. Through King David, God is giving us a very clear path to reaching this goal, this place where our lives overflow. Sound good? All right, so last week, we learned our starting point, because if we want to get to that goal, we've got to start at the right place and follow the right directions. Last week, we learned our starting point is making a commitment to God as Lord of our life. And we talked about what Lord means. Lord, when we call God our Lord, Jesus our Lord, it means that we're putting Him completely in charge of our life. We're letting Him call the shots. We are recognizing His authority and surrendering to His authority and following Him. And when we do that, we experience God as our shepherd, who cares for us, who protects us, and most of all, he guides us. And as we allow that to happen, we learn to be content because we are no longer in want of the things that truly fulfill us. We're no longer in want of God's life as he refreshes us in green pastures. We're no longer in want of God's peace as he forgives us and restores our soul. We're no longer in want of guidance as God leads us on right paths. We're no longer in want of God's presence, even in the darkest times. And we're no longer in want of God's joy as our cup overflows. This is a picture of fulfillment. And the way to experience that fulfillment is committing ourselves to following the shepherd as our Lord. But once we make that commitment, it's going to be immediately tested. In fact, right in Psalm 23, the very, very next step is immediately going to test our commitment. Are we going to follow Jesus as our Lord? It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Okay, that doesn't sound like a test, but trust me, you're going to find out. It's going to be a test. Does anybody find it strange where it says he makes me lie down in green pastures? Right? Does that, well, he makes me lie down? Why in the world would that have to happen? Okay, like I said before, I'm a pastor. I'm not a farmer. I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a rancher. I don't know much about sheep, but I've done my research, all right? And what I've learned is that sheep get easily distracted. Sheep get easily anxious, so distracted, so anxious that they cannot rest. And literally, a shepherd sometimes has to make the sheep lie down and rest because they're so distracted, they're so anxious. Now, does that sound like anyone you know? All right. Have you ever stayed awake at night because you're so anxious? Right? How many times this week? One of the great causes of our stress is the fact that our lives are way out of balance. All right? And just to, you know, to prove the point, I have a little assessment to help you figure out whether or not your life is in balance or not. You might be out of balance if you are constantly in a hurry. In fact, you're in such a hurry, you barely made it here today. You're in such a hurry that you don't have time to take this assessment. I'll get back to you later. If you are constantly in a hurry, you might be out of balance. You might be out of balance if your to-do list is unrealistically long. You know the old saying, God has put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things, and so far I'm so far behind, I'm never going to die. Right? Too many things to do. If your to-do list is unrealistically long, you might be out of balance. You might be out of balance if you use your days off to catch up on unfinished work. Ever done that? You might be out of balance if you need to get sick to take a day off. You might be out of balance if you feel guilty when you relax. Inc. magazine did a survey, and of the people they surveyed, 62% said they felt burned out or desperately close to being burned out. Their lives are out of balance. CNN also did a survey, a similar survey. They got similar results. 59% said that they desperately needed to slow down. In other words, they needed to be made to lie down. That's the day. 3,000 years ago this was written, but that's the day, and it still speaks to us. All right, so I want to kind of illustrate to this, so I'm going to use a really, really high-tech illustration. I am a balance. All right, this is as high-tech as I get. All right, I'm a balance, all right? And right now, life is in balance. But then work starts to happen, right? And there's bosses to please, or there's employees to take care of, there are deadlines, there are complaints, there's emails, there are meetings, and things start to get a little out of balance. And then there's home, right? And, you know, the home has to stay somewhat clean. There's laundry to do. There's food to buy. There's meals to prepare. There's lawn, you know, yard work, repairs. And, you know, life gets a little more out of balance. And then there's children. I don't even have to explain children. right? More out of balance. And if you go to school, you know, there's all the demands of school, a little more out of balance. And then there's the shopping that has to be done and the bills that have to be paid. And there's the friends that we need to connect with and relationships that maybe need to be repaired. And pretty soon life gets way, way out of balance. You know, there's experts who, you know, who go around and they tell us all the things we need to have a healthy life. So, you know, one expert will say you need to have healthy meals with fresh vegetables, you know, fresh cooked and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know how many of you have taken the time to actually make meals with fresh vegetables that are fresh cooked and everything. It takes time to chop it all and get it all ready. It takes a lot of time. And then, you know, there's another expert that's, you know, expert at exercise, and they'll tell you, you know, you'll need to spend, you know, at least an hour exercising every day. And then there's the experts on sleep that will tell you you need 8 hours of sleep every day. And, the experts about, you know, the time we need to spend with our kids or the time we need to spend with relationships, you know, and nurturing that kind of stuff. And, you know, and then you've got work and you've got the yard work and you've got the household chores and all those kinds of things. So, but the problem is each expert was only, you know, speaking in their own little area. So one magazine got the clever idea of, we're going to collect all that data of what the experts say, you know, we need to do and find out how much time it takes to do all the things and spend all the time the experts say we need to spend and do to have a healthy life. You know how much time it takes in a day to have a healthy life according to the experts? 36 hours. See the problem? 36 hours. No wonder our life is so out of balance. That's why we are experiencing so much stress. So I've got a video I want to share with you in just a second. It's a real fast video. It's really quick. So you got to be paying attention and watching carefully, because what's going to happen is going to happen fast. But it's going to graphically depict all this rushing around, all this hurrying that we do. All right. So if we can get the lights. Oh, we got the lights. All right. This is as good as it's going to get. Let's watch the video. That's what can happen with all the rushing around and all the hurrying that we do. When David said he makes us lie down, I don't think that's what he had in mind. Right? Pretty sure that's not what he had in mind. So what is the secret to finding balance in our life? And here's the thing. It's not really a secret at all. In fact, our problem is not a lack of knowledge about how to have balance in our life. It's not that at all. We already know how to have balance in our life. God has already made it very crystal clear how we can have balance in our life. The problem isn't knowing. The problem is actually doing it. The problem is following the shepherd as our Lord and doing the things God told us to do to have balance. All right, so what is God's way for making us lie down? Like I said, it's no secret. God literally carved it in stone. It's one of the Ten Commandments. God's way for having balance is keeping the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." All right? This is not one of God's 10 great suggestions. This is one of the Ten Commandments. God knows that taking a Sabbath is important. God created us. I want you to understand that God created us to need rest on a weekly basis, not on a once a month or once every 3 month basis. But God created us. He knows us. God knows how important it is to take a Sabbath. He knows how important it is to our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health. He knows it's so important that he gives it equal importance with things like thou shalt not murder. And keeping the Sabbath has the same kind of weight, the same kind of importance. That's how important it is. But we are willing to blow off the Sabbath, right? Not that important to us. I know I was willing to do it. It all kind of came to a head when I was at a pastor's retreat several years ago. And there was a group of us. It was after the main speaker spoke, and now they broke us up into these little cuddles, these little small groups. So there was like seven of us pastors in a circle, you know, discussing what was saying. And all of us were tired. I mean, all of us were, we were exhausted. We were worn out. And so I just kind of finally looked up and I asked them, when was the last time any of us took a day off? Because I knew for me at that point, I hadn't taken a day off in over a month. So I asked them, you know, when was the last time any of us has taken a day off? Every single one of us, it was more than a month than we had taken a day off. It was no wonder we were so exhausted. And we just all kind of hung our heads because we knew we were breaking one of God's commandments. And we were pastors. We make a mess out of our lives and then we expect God to bless. It just doesn't work that way. God created us with the need to take a day off every day. To have a Sabbath. In your daily devotional book this week, you're going to be reading about the Sabbath more. You're going to be reading more about the purposes of the Sabbath, more about why we take a Sabbath. You're going to probably learn more about the Sabbath than you've ever known in your life. I mean, when was the last time you've heard a sermon about the Sabbath, right? Right? So look forward to that each day. But today, this morning, I'm just going to focus on one purpose, all right? From the Exodus passage we talked about, the Sabbath is tied to following God's example of resting on the seventh day. God created for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Now, I want to make it abundantly clear that God did not rest on the seventh day because he was so exhausted from creating the other six. It was like, whew, this creation stuff was a lot of work. I need a rest. God did not, that's not why God took a rest. God stopped. God rested on the seventh day in order to celebrate and enjoy the creation he just made. So the purpose of taking a Sabbath is to refocus ourselves on God and celebrate and enjoy God's life. See, because too often we're busy working. Why are we working? Well, I'm working because I want to provide a good life for myself. I'm working because I want to provide a good life for my family. And when do you get to enjoy that good life? Well, when I'm done working and your family's gone. We take a day off to celebrate and enjoy God's life and refocus ourselves on God and not focus all on work, to recognize God's our provider. Sabbath is God's way for keeping balance in our life and removing our stress. So how do we take a Sabbath? All right? I find it ironic, by the way, that we're talking about Sabbath. We're talking about taking a rest on the one Sunday when we have 1 hour less to take a rest. Right? So I'm going to use the word rest as an acronym to talk about how we can take a Sabbath. R stands for relax. On the Sabbath, we take a day off. No work. We do not work. All right? And this is where it gets tricky because, you know, people really, really get legalistic about what work is and what work isn't and that kind of stuff. So, you know, how do we define work? Let me keep it real simple for you. I'm going to give you two guidelines for recognizing whether it's work or not. The first guideline is this. If you get paid for it, it's work. All right? That's easy enough. If you get paid for it, it's work. Here's the second one. If it feels like work, it's work. So let me give you an example. Yesterday, sons, how many were you out working in your yards yesterday? Right? A lot of us. It was like one of the first chances we've had. All right? I was out there 2.5 hours working, you know, 2.5 hours, and that was just weeding my rose bed. All right? And that was the smallest of my flower beds, so I'm scared. So I was out there gardening. For me, gardening feels like work. I don't enjoy it. I enjoy the result, but I don't result the process. You know, I don't enjoy the process of getting to it. If I had the money to hire someone to do it, I would hire them in a moment. All right? It feels like work to me. However, I have friends who love the garden. They are out there pulling weeds and planting seeds, and they're having the greatest time of their life. Raise up there, raising his hand. Yeah. So some of you are like that. You know, you're weird. Right? So what's work for me is not necessarily work for someone else. So we cannot just have this hard, fast rule about it. Because what wears me and drains me actually restores and brings joy to someone else. So what might be work to some people might not be work to you. So that's a good thing to do on the Sabbath day. But if it feels like work, it's work. So R, no work, take the day off. E, enjoy, okay? We're taking the day off, we're not working, we're replacing it with enjoyment. We do things that are fun for us. We do things that restore us, that we do things that give us some new refreshment and energy. We have fun with our family. Maybe you have a game night, or you go out on a trip, or whatever. You go out and you play, you take a hike, you do a hobby, you ride a bike, maybe read a book. On a day like today, maybe take a nap after an hour nap to make up for it. All right? But do things that restore you. Do things that bring some fun and enjoyment. So relax, enjoy. S stands for strategize. You actually need to plan ahead. You need to be intentional about taking a day off. These things do not happen by accident. Because if we just let it happen by accident, it will never happen because things creep in. There's always things to do. So we've actually got to strategize. We've got to plan ahead. We've got, okay, I've got to clear the decks. I've got to make sure that things are taken care of so they won't creep into this day. I maybe need to, you know, if cooking a meal is work to you, then you need to kind of think ahead and have some food prepared. Or yeah, we're just going to order pizza or whatever it is. Plan ahead, strategize, so you can truly take a day off, relax, and enjoy. Not just you, but your family and your spouse, all right? So, because it doesn't work if you have, I'm taking the day off, which means your spouse has to do twice as much work. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? So relax, enjoy, strategize, and then T is time with God. Because the biggest point is this chance to refocus on God and let God restore us. So we want to spend time with God by worshiping God, spending some time connecting with God, allowing God to meet us, to fill us, to feed us. All right? So when should we have a Sabbath? Well, for a lot of people, well, originally for the Jews, Sabbath, and still is, Saturday. Saturday was the official seventh day. It was locked in. That is our Sabbath day. For Christians, they moved it to Sunday because Sunday was the resurrection day. And the resurrection is the most important event in our lives. And so they moved it to Sunday to recognize that. But really, it's not about a law. Again, it's not about rules. It's about the practice. So it doesn't matter what day you make it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, there's people who argue with me about that. But as far as I'm concerned, it's the practice. So some people need to work on Sundays. So take another day off. It's the practice, not the day. For a lot of people, Sunday's the perfect day because they already have the day off from work. You're already at church, so you're focusing on God. It all comes together as long as you then don't go and work this afternoon. Right? But it's about the practice. When we practice this, we allow God to restore us. We allow God to bring balance in our life. All right? Now, you might think you'll never get anything done if you take a day off. Right? Oh, if I take a day off, things aren't going to get done. Things are going to get worse. But again, let me preach. This is God's instruction. This is the way God created us. So the question is, will we trust God and follow His directions? I told you we're going to get tested right away. The Lord is my shepherd. Are we going to make Him Lord? Are we going to follow Him as our shepherd? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we find out if we really mean it when we say the Lord is my shepherd. If we don't follow him at this step, we stay stuck. And we'll never move forward towards that goal of a life that overflows. So, when you feel like I just can't do it, when you feel like I just can't take a day off, I want you to remember that antelope, all right? Put that picture in your mind. I want you to remember that antelope because you have a choice. You can either do it God's way or you can become prey. You can either have dinner in green pastures or you can be the dinner. So what will you do? That's only half of it. He makes me lie down in green pastures, but the other half is he leads me beside quiet waters. Again, going back to sheep. Do you realize, do you know this about sheep? I did not know this, but sheep won't drink from rushing waters. It agitates them. They get so upset, so agitated, so anxious about rushing water that they won't drink from it. So a shepherd has to take them to quiet water so that they can drink. We rush around so much that we do not find time, we do not take time to drink from the living water. Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus says, when you come to me, when you connect with me, when you drink the water I offer, it will become like a spring that never stops. It just keeps flowing. It just keeps refreshing you, and it keeps welling up all the way to eternal life. But when we rush around so much, we don't stay connected to Jesus, and the spring dries out, and our life dries out. So how do we drink from the living water? We do it by having a quiet time every day. We take a Sabbath every week, but we have a quiet time every day. David describes the power of a quiet time in the Psalms. The very first Psalm, the very first verses of the very first Psalm, David says this, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Isn't that a great picture? Do not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. That's what happens when we have a quiet time. We become that tree. We become that person who is fruitful, who is solidly rooted, drinking from the stream, meditating on God's word day and night. So you heard me say it before, you're going to hear me say it again. Bible study and prayer is the top way, is the best way, is the most important way to connect to God and let God's living water flow in us. And you say, Phil, you've told me that, and you told me that, and I'm sick and tired of you telling me that. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again until we all get it to the point that we all practice it. And once we're all practicing it, I'm going to keep repeating it so we never stop. Because this is the way, the top way, the most important way, the best way to connect to God and allow him to put his roots in us, allow us to have this solid foundation so that we can stand strong in any situation. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us the benefits of quiet time. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. So when we study it, we are tapping into God's power because this is God's living word. All scriptures God breathed. We tap into God's power. And it's useful for teaching. We gain knowledge from God when we study it. Rebuking. Rebuking is a warning. We gain God's warning. God says, don't go that way. And correcting, it's the other side. This is where we gain God's guidance. Go this way. Rebuking, don't go that way. Correcting, go this way instead. It's the right way. That's what we get from God's word. And training in righteousness, so that every good man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are anchored when we study God's word and equipped to serve. So when we have our quiet time, when we are in prayer and studying his word, we tap into God's power, we gain God's knowledge, we are told not to go that way, told this is the right way to go, and God works in us and anchors us and equips us to serve. That's the power of having a quiet time. So, remember my high-tech balance, right? And all this down here, this represents our output. This is all the things we're doing, all the busyness, all the responsibilities, all the work. This, the output. If there's no input, our lives are out of balance and we dry out. Always doing, nothing coming in, we burn out. We dry out. We need that input from God to put our lives in balance. That happens when we have a quiet time, when we're connecting to God through His Word and prayer. All right? Most of us know this. Like I said, I keep saying it over and over again. We already know this. The issue isn't knowing it. The issue is following the Lord as our shepherd. It's doing it. It's obeying because we trust God. We're going to do it God's ways. So let me give you some tips for following the shepherd to quiet water. Some tips for having a quiet time. First one is this. You need to establish it as a priority. It needs to become the number one priority in your life, because right now, the number one reason that people don't have a quiet time every day is that their lives are too busy. They're doing too much stuff, and if something gets cut out, it's the time with God that we cut out. I just don't have time for it. How many of us have thought that, done that? Don't raise your hands, because all of you would raise them, me included. That's why I found I've got to do it in the morning. I have to have my quiet time in the morning, because if I even let it go a half an hour, I get busy, get into my day, and the next thing I know, I'm asleep and I haven't done it at all. So for me, it works best to do it right away, or I just get in that flow of life and it doesn't happen. We've got to establish, this is important, this is number one. So if something gets cut out, it's not my time with God, it might be my time with TV, right? It might be some other time, but it's not going to be my time with God. So that's number one. Number two, we need to be creative about when and where we have our quiet time. Like I said, I do it first thing in the morning. That works best for me. There was a period in my life where I did it at lunchtime. You know, I had this half-hour break at lunchtime. It was just me alone, it was a perfect time for me to have my quiet time. You know, you got to figure out that. Be when and where. Where can you have that quiet moment? And for some of us, that's very tough. If we got homes filled with kids, it's really, really tough. If we have homes filled with young kids, it's like ridiculous. So I love to tell this story. Susanna Wesley is the mother of Charles and John Wesley, who founded the United Methodist Church. All right, powerful men that God used powerfully to start a huge movement that impacted the entire world. Susanna Wesley had, I don't even remember, but I want to say it was 12 to 14 kids, all right? John and Charles are just two of a huge brood. And when you have a household full of that many kids, it's impossible to find, you know, where are you going to find that spot to be alone and to be quiet? Maybe the bathroom, right? For Susanna Wesley, this is what she did, and I think it's hysterical. You know, back in those days, women's dresses, they were layers. You know, they had like a dozen layers. And they went all the way down to their ankles. And so what she would do is she would sit in a chair in the corner of the room, and she would take the outside layer of her dress and pull it up. I'm not making this up. You can read about this. And pull it up over her head. And she had trained all her kids that when mom is sitting in the corner with her dress over her head, you do not disturb her. She's spending time with God. And they had the fear of mom put into their lives, all right? That's how she found that time. So we need to be, that's the point. We need to be creative about when and where we do it. Sometimes it's helpful to use devotional resources. Sometimes it's helpful to have something that helps us study God's Word, helps us pray. It kind of a built-in accountability almost. So I use devotionals frequently. That's why I write devotionals, because they have been such a help, such a blessing to me, to have something that helps me focus, helps give a pattern to my quiet time. So use the devotional and allow that to be part of having a strong quiet time. And finally, kind of come back to that, making the priority, we need to make a commitment. We need to say, I am going to have a quiet time starting now. Right? Because if you say, I'm going to have a quiet time, you know, in a couple weeks when things settle down, right? I'm going to have a quiet time this summer when school is over. I'm going to have a quiet time, you know, when never happens, because something else always happens. We just need to make a commitment that I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow God as my Lord. All right? So this is the second step to allowing God to drain the stress out of our lives and fill it with His life. The first step is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The second step is making this commitment to allowing God to put balance in our lives. Making this commitment to actually taking a day off so that God can restore us. Actually having a quiet time so that we can stay connected with God every day. The Lord wants to take us to green pastures. He wants to lead us to quiet waters. This is the first step on our journey that we take after committing ourselves to following Jesus the Lord. And these are not chores, all right? These are not hardships. They're not obligations. These are God's gifts. This is a step that is really good for our emotional health, our physical health, our spiritual health. Doctors and experts today who do not even believe in God will tell you that taking a day off is really, really good. We have the extra step of knowing that when we follow God in this way, God works in us as well to restore us and to re-energize us. These are God's gifts. These are not chores. These are ways He removes our stress and brings balance to our life. So as we go along on this journey in Psalms 23, the question is, will you take this first step? Because this first step prepares and leads us on the next step, which will prepare and lead us on the next step. If we don't take this step, we stay stuck. But what we're going to see is we're going to see how this step is going to prepare us for the next step. Next week we're going to talk about where God restores our souls and gives us peace. Surely we're up to taking this step of stopping, of resting, of enjoying the blessings of God in our life. We can do it God's way, or we can become prey. What will it be? On that note, let's pray. And I want you, as we go into prayer, just take a moment and think about your own life. Think about your own need for rest. Think about your own practices. Are there things you're doing that need to be confessed? Are there changes or commitments you need to be making? In this time of prayer, I encourage you to just take that moment with God right now. I'm just going to be silent for a few seconds. Take that moment. If there's confession that needs to happen, confess it. Say, God, I've been doing this. It's wrong. I want to repent of it. God, I'm making this commitment to following your way, taking a Sabbath, having a quiet time. Take a moment. Have your moment with God right now. God, I pray for our own well-being, for our own emotional, physical, spiritual health, that you will make us lie down. Take us to quiet waters, that we might drink of you, the living water. Help us make commitments to following your ways, your patterns of truth. truly taking a day off. I'm convicted. I know I am not batting 1,000 on this one. Give us prompts, give us reminders each day to take that time with you. And as we do, fill us with your presence. And as your presence fills us, may it just push all the distractions, all the anxieties, all the stress out, so that we find rest and refreshment, the spring of living water bubbling up in us. I pray this in the name of Jesus, our shepherd. Amen. Just a quick word about Easter stuff. Peter talked about the Easter egg hunt that's coming up. Think about it, plan on it, because this is our opportunity to let the city of Pittsburgh know what great people are at Edgewater Church. Right? Let them see it. Let them realize this is a great church, a church that loves the city, that loves the people of the city, and because isn't that who we are, right? This is our opportunity to show it. This is our opportunity to put it into action and not just lip service. So I hope that you plan to do that. I want to awe and shock the city with the number of volunteers that we have helping them out. And that's coming right before Easter, so it's also our chance to introduce them to our church, invite them to Easter. We're also going to be sending out, we will all be going out and putting up door hangers, Easter invitation door hangers. So anticipate that. We'll be telling you more about that. But we'll be putting out, I don't know how many, 1,000, 2,000, 10 million. We're going to go out and put out door hangers and invite people to Easter so that Easter's 5 weeks away. So that we will just be able to blow the roof off celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. So look forward to that. As God has blessed you this week, go and be a blessing and take a rest, all right? We'll see you. Thanks for coming.